ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18। स्वमातु स्वमातु स्विन्न गात्राय विश्रिष्ट कबरस्रजः दृष्ट्वा परिश्रमं कृष्ण कृपया सित स्वबंधने। स्वमा ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। बिकॉज ऑफ मदर यशोदास हार्ड लेबर, हर होल बॉडी बिकेम कवर्ड विद परस्पिरेशन एंड द फ्लावर्स एंड कोम वेर फॉलिंग फ्रॉम हर हेयर। When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Purport. When mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the robes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus, they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotee, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus, Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Hare Krishna. Seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas before speaking something on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam here. So we have been discussing about this wonderful pastime of Damodar Leela for quite some time, and we are coming to the point where now from this verse onward Krishna will be bound by Mother Yashoda. So she was trying till now, but now Krishna has agreed to be bound. So Prabhupada mentions many nice points in this purport. So we will focus on two important points today in our discussion. One is how Krishna is controlled by the love and affection of his devotees. And then, as Prabhupada mentions in the last line of this purport, that Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated by the love of his devotees. So that's one step more ahead, where first is Krishna is controlled by love and affection, but the next is Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated by the love and affection of his devotees. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th chapter, Queen Kunti is offering wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna, who is about to depart Dwarka. And in one of her prayers, she mentions this particular incident of Bhagavatam, where she recollects of this Damodar Leela pastime, and she mentions, "My dear Krishna, Yashoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, and these tears washed the mascara from your eyes. You were afraid, although fear personified is afraid of you, and this sight is bewildering to me." So Queen Kunti is quite advanced devotee, yet while recollecting this pastime, she is saying that this sight is bewildering to me. And after this shloka which we have taken now, we will see that the next two shlokas mentions about how demigods also get bewildered by seeing Krishna being defeated by his devotee, or Krishna being cried, or Krishna being very fearful of someone else. So this pastime can be really bewildering even for advanced devotees. So Queen Kunti actually is remembering this pastime because it is mentioned that, the Acharya has mentioned that actually Queen Kunti was there when this pastime took place. Now, Queen Kunti was a sister of Vasudev, and she was given as a raptured daughter to Kunti Bhoj. But sometime she would come back to Mathura to visit her family. So when she once came to Mathura, it is mentioned that she took the chance and opportunity to also cross Yamuna and go to Gokul Mahavan. And that happened to be day of Deepavali, and she was there. In front of her, the whole pastime took place. So she was bewildered when she saw that pastime, and years later still she is bewildered recollecting the pastime. So this is Krishna's pastimes, where it's actually difficult to understand the Siddhanta. How Krishna, who is the controller of everything, he is controlled by someone like a lady from a village. So we'll focus on the aspect of Krishna controlled by love and affection of his devotees. We see that how Krishna, he is not attached to any kind of opulence which anyone can provide him. He is more interested in love and affection. In fact, Krishna does not have appetite for anything else but love, of which he gets from his devotees. So we saw that, we know the wonderful story of how Krishna once went to Hastinapur and Duryodhan called him for a big feast. So Duryodhan wanted to kind of win over Krishna and try to gain his favor. So Duryodhan called Krishna for a feast. He made a chappan bhog, elaborate feast. He had arranged for golden cups, golden dish and golden pots. And when all the food came in front of Krishna, Krishna, he was saying, Krishna, you please take this food. So immediately Krishna said, well, I don't have appetite. If I am not hungry, how can I eat? And then Krishna said, in direct words, that I eat only when there is love and affection. And Duryodhana, you do not have love and affection for me. So why should I eat at your house? And Krishna left the house. So Krishna was hungry, but for love and affection. Immediately after Duryodhana's, when Duryodhana called Krishna, immediately Krishna left Duryodhana's house and went to Vidura's house. And when Krishna went to Vidura's house, Vidura was not there. Only Vidura's wife, Vidurani, she was there. And Krishna immediately told Vidurani that I am hungry. Please bring me some food. Quite contrasting. Duryodhana was offering chappan bhog. Krishna said, I am not hungry. Because his hunger is not based on the food item. His hunger is based on love and affection. So he declined Duryodhana's chappan bhog. But he went to Vidurani and he asked that I am hungry. Please provide me some food. Now, Vidurani was completely taken aback, surprised that Krishna has come in her house and her husband is not there. And now Krishna is asking for some food. So it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that she became very confused. She became nervous. She became bewildered. And she started searching in her nervousness what she can provide to Krishna. And then she saw those fruits, bananas. But when a person is very nervous, and in nervousness he gets something, you can always expect some mistakes to be done. So in this case, she was so nervous that instead of giving bananas to Krishna, she was actually doing service. She removed the banana, she kept the banana down and actually offered peel, the banana skin, to Krishna. And she was completely nervous, she was bewildered, but she was also seeing Krishna and absorbed in seeing Krishna. She was in ecstasy, bewildered but in ecstasy. So we also many times often face this situations where we become nervous, especially when we are in front of an advanced Vaishnava or maybe in front of our spiritual master. Is it not? Like I remember the first time I met my spiritual master, I also was so nervous that time. I was introduced, it was a Bhagavatam class in Mira Road, and I was introduced by one senior devotee. And he was introducing me to my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he was mentioning that this is a new devotee. And when he started mentioning, I was nervous. I didn't know, because Maharaj was seeing at me. So in the lecture, Maharaj was seeing at everyone, but after lecture, specifically, he was seeing at me. And I was sitting very close to Maharaj. So when he was seeing at me, I became so nervous that for every statement that devotee made about me, I said, thank you. So he spoke for 5 minutes about me. For 5 minutes, I spoke thank you for every word. So 20 times I spoke thank you, and Maharaj was seeing at me and he was smiling and laughing. because he was happy that I was very nervous about that. So in 5 minutes, I spoke 20 times, thank you. And then I realized what I have done. Because I was nervous, I didn't know how to face. So here Vidurani, she is also nervous. She doesn't know how to face Krishna. He has come, he is asking, I want food. And Vidur also is not there. So in that nervousness, she is offering the banana skin and not the banana. And Krishna is taking the banana skin. And Krishna is eating the banana skin. And Krishna is not, Krishna is relishing the banana skin. It's not like Krishna is like eating and is waiting for her to, you know, come back to external consciousness and give the banana and not the peel. Krishna is happily enjoying the banana skin. And then Vidura enters, and Vidura sees Krishna is eating the skin, and his wife is keeping the banana down. And immediately he calls up loudly, what are you doing? You're offering the skin. And then Vidurani comes to her external consciousness, and then she offers the banana. But Krishna becomes disturbed by that. Krishna eats the banana and said, these bananas are tasteless. That banana skin was more tasty. Because that banana skin was imbued with Vidurani's love and affection. So that is Krishna's appetite. Krishna loves not the object. Krishna loves with what feelings you give the object. That's the most important aspect. So Krishna is always controlled by devotees' love and affection. Now, in Vrindavan, we have been hearing for so many days about wonderful leelas about Vrindavan. So I'd like to add some little drops to that ocean till now. I'm not sure whether it was spoken or not, but still it is very pleasurable to speak. It is mentioned that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was an attractive scene, an object for everyone in Vrindavan. Right from morning till evening, everyone would be hankering to get darshan of Krishna, one side of Krishna. So in a small baby child, Krishna would get up in the morning. Immediately all the gopis from neighboring house, they would come and they would peep into the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to get the darshan of Krishna. So in this way, gopis are completely bound by Krishna, and Krishna was very affectionate to the gopis. And Krishna reciprocated with the gopis' love and affection. So it is mentioned a nice pastime that how one time all the gopis came together and Krishna and Balram were there. And they came walking. So the gopis, immediately elderly gopis, they divided into two parties. One party of the gopis, they told that Lord Krishna is very strong. He can easily defeat Lord Balaram. And the other party said, no, Lord Balaram is strong. And Lord Balaram can easily defeat Krishna. So there was a discussion between these two group of devotees. Finally, one group of devotees, this is all happening in front of Krishna and Balaram. One group of devotees, these gopis, they mentioned that if Krishna defeats Balaram, I will offer Krishna a laddu. And then another group of devotees said, if Balaram defeats Krishna, I will offer Balaram a laddu. Let's see. So immediately Krishna and Balaram get ready to wrestle and fight. So they are small children, but they behave like adult wrestlers, and they are, you know, slapping their thighs, their arms, and they are now wrestling with each other. So when the wrestling match begins between Krishna and Balaram, Balaram picks up Krishna and throws him down. So it looks like Krishna is defeated, but immediately Krishna gets up and throws Balaram down. And this happens for a lot of time. And Krishna and Balaram, in the corner of their eyes, they are just watching. What? How gopis are singing, clapping, and having fun seeing this pastime. So apparently looks Krishna and Balaram are looking for the laddus which the gopis are going to offer. And they're ready to wrestle amongst each other. But actually, both the lords are interested in seeing, in experiencing the love and affection which the gopis are getting in them fighting. So this is about how Krishna is controlled by devotees' love and affection. Then there's a nice pastime which comes in the Vrindavan aspect. We have heard about this in Vrindavan Yatra many times. This happened in Nanda Bhavan. So the devotees in Nanda Bhavan, they fondly remember this pastime very elaborately about how once Lord Shiva came to Nanda Bhavan to meet Lord Krishna. So it is mentioned, the site is given, that how Lord Shiva came along with Nandi Bhul to Nanda Bhavan, and outside of the gate, he started playing his damru. And he started loudly chanting, Alak Niranjan, Alak Niranjan. And he said, and he wanted to get the attention of the lady inside. Lord Shiva had come to just have a darshan of Lord Krishna. So Mother Yashoda heard that sound of damru, and she thought that some sage has come, some sadhu has come, and he wants some donation, some alms. So she came out. But when she came out, she saw the appearance of this sadhu and she became afraid. And it is mentioned, what was the appearance of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva had a special robes which he was wearing, which was of tiger skin. So in Braj, generally people don't walk like that, you know. Tiger skin robes. He was carrying a trident. And from head to toe, he was covered with ashes. His hair was completely matted and there was a garland of human skulls around his head. And then he had serpents around his hands and his toes and also around his neck. Seeing this, Mother Yashoda became afraid, but she controlled herself. And then she asked, Babaji, what do you want? Do you want some alms? I will give whatever you want. So Lord Shiva said, I have come from very far away from Kailash. So she mentioned that, okay, whatever you want, you ask. I have come far from Kailash just to see your child, Krishna. So here was someone coming from Kailash for Vrindavan Yatra. So here we see that how on the outskirts of the gate of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, he is standing waiting to get darshan of Krishna. So Mother Yashoda tells Lord Shiva, she doesn't know that he is Lord Shiva. She tells him, you eat or drink whatever you want from my house and then go away. But as far as seeing my child, it is impossible. I will never show you my face, show you my child's face. In fact, you stop playing this damru loudly. My child is sleeping inside, he will get disturbed and will start crying. Now Shiva said, oh, well, mother, I don't want your roti and sabji. I do not want anything else. I have just come so that I can get your son's darshan. That is the only donation I aspire for. So Mother Yashoda said, see, I am a grown-up lady, I am an adult. Yet I am so terrified by seeing you. What will happen if my child comes here? If I bring my child, he will start crying loudly. So therefore, forget it. If you want something, ask for that, or otherwise you leave. But Lord Shiva kept standing there along with Nandi. So Mother Yashoda left him there on the door and he went inside. She went inside the room. When she came inside, she saw that Krishna was frantically crying loudly. And she tried her best to stop Krishna crying, but she could not. Then one elderly gopi, she came and said, might be the reason for your child's crying is that Baba has come outside. Because when the damru was played, that is the time he started crying. So maybe I feel that you go and show your son once, and that's how he can stop crying. So Mother Yashoda was very hesitant, but she completely agreed that that has to be done because the child was very much crying. So she took Krishna and put Krishna in a basket. And she covered the entire body of Krishna with black cloth so that this Baba cannot put any evil effects. And then she decorated Krishna's eyes with mascara, black mascara, and she put a black dot on Krishna's face. And then she brought the basket outside. And then she showed Krishna to Lord Shiva. When Lord Shiva saw Krishna, and Krishna saw Lord Shiva, Krishna stopped crying. And Mother Yashoda was very happy. But immediately she took Krishna away and kept Krishna inside. Said, now darshan is over, you can go. So Lord Shiva was very happy, he was very pleased. It is mentioned that Lord Shiva was waiting eagerly outside. And while waiting eagerly outside, he lit a yajna fire so that he could do some auspicious chanting of mantras. So Mother Yashoda saw that. She came to know that this Baba is very special Baba. He can really ward off many evil things. So she invited Lord Shiva that you can stay very close by here and whenever some problem is there, my child is crying, I'll call you and you can come and then my child can stop crying. So here was Krishna, who was completely controlled by affection and love of Lord Shiva. He could not see. He could not wait for Lord Shiva. In fact, Lord Shiva was waiting outside, hoping that if Krishna doesn't come outside and Mother Yashoda does not bring Krishna outside, I will wait till Krishna starts crawling and he comes outside to play, I will see Krishna. So even today when you go to Nanda Bhavan, you will find that next to Krishna Balaram Mandir in Nand Bhavan, there is one small Shiva temple, which is the exact spot it is mentioned that Lord Shiva is still waiting and he's doing his service to so-called remove the ill effects, what are the ill effects of baby Krishna. So this is called as Krishna's controlled by love and affection. Now we'll move to the next part where Krishna is, sometimes he agrees to be defeated by his devotees. So we find that Many times the gopis in Vrindavan, they would come and they would play with Krishna. And sometimes they would want to see Krishna, they wanted to put Krishna in difficulty and see how he reacts. So one day the gopis told Krishna that you go and bring that wooden seat for us. So Krishna knew that that wooden seat is very heavy. And as a child, no one can lift that. So Krishna went and he struggled to lift the wooden seat, but he could not lift. And while struggling to lift the wooden seat, he was watching the gopis, and gopis were very happy, seeing that how Krishna is struggling to lift the wooden seat. Now Krishna, for him to lift a wooden seat was something which is very, very small thing. Krishna as Varadhi lifted Mother Earth. And some days later now, Krishna will lift Govardhan Parvat in Vrindavan. So for Krishna to lift the wooden seat is not difficult at all. But Krishna agrees not to lift the wooden seat because they want to see the devotees see him defeated by their love. So Krishna agrees to be defeated by the love of his devotees. In this very pastime which we are speaking about now, we see that how Mother Yashoda, when Krishna comes and asks for her milk, and Yashoda is feeding the milk, and then when the milk which is on the stove in the kitchen boils over, Mother Yashoda leaves Krishna. Now if Krishna decides to do something, who can stop Krishna? So Krishna decided to drink milk of Mother Yashoda. But Mother Yashoda has decided to leave Krishna and go and take care of the milk. So who can be better? Who can be really winning the battle here? Krishna, because Krishna, if he decides something, he cannot be defeated. The same Krishna, just few months ago, was also drinking the milk of Putana. And Putana wanted to get Krishna out. She couldn't get Krishna out. That is the power of Krishna's hold. Then the same Krishna was in the hands of Trinavarta. And Trinavarta wanted to get Krishna out. He could not get Krishna out. And Krishna was lifting all the demons and throwing them in there, never missing any chance. So Krishna's hold is very strong. If he decides to hold someone, he cannot leave. And here Krishna decides to hold Yashoda, but yet Mother Yashoda could remove Krishna from the hold and go. Because Mother Yashoda's love was so strong that Krishna agreed to be defeated by her. So this is how we can see that how Krishna agrees to be defeated by the love of his devotees. So I was referring a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking a very nice point on this aspect, on this particular leela. So we find that here, as we go ahead in the purports, we will hear about the two finger. How Mother Yashoda, when she was trying to bind Krishna with all the ropes, every time the rope was two fingers short. And the two fingers represented first the devotee's efforts, and second is Lord's grace. Srila Prabhupada in his lectures point out two different analogies, examples for these two different points. Prabhupada often mentions about this wonderful logic called as Markat and AI, wherein a monkey and a monkey's child. So the monkey is moving from one branch of the tree to another. The child is holding the mother monkey. And the mother is not doing anything. She's just running from here and there, but the child is holding tight. So this is called as Markata Nyaya, wherein a child is putting all his efforts to hold on to mother. And in devotional land, we can mention that how, in one sense, a devotee is putting all his efforts to serve Krishna. That's called Markata Nyaya. The other aspect is Marjara Nyaya, whereas it is mentioned about the logic of cat and the kitten. So the kitten never takes any effort to hold on to mother cat. The cat actually picks up the kitten in her mouth and she carries the kitten. So this Marjara Nyaya is representing that how a Lord completely takes care of his devotees. So throughout the Vaishnava Sampradayas all over the world, some Sampradayas focus more and emphasize more on Markata Nyaya. And some Sampradayas focus more on Marjara Nyaya. But actually in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is complete philosophy, all philosophies are complete, the four sampradayas, but yet Srila Prabhupada, not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave us the complete whole sampradaya understanding of Achintya Bheda Bhetatva. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism focused on both of the aspects important, Markatanaya as well as Marjaranaya. And these two fingers represent this, that how a devotee has to put his efforts to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Meanwhile, he also has to depend on Krishna's grace. I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj, and he brought out a very nice point. He often gives very good examples to illustrate a particular point. So he was mentioning that how once he went to one temple somewhere in Durban, South Africa, and there he saw a chapati making machine. So he saw a chapati making machine. He described elaborately how chapati making machine works. So he mentioned that there is a big sound which keeps coming always, and then you have to add flour and water, and the flour and water gets mixed automatically by the machine, and then goes ahead, becomes a dough, and then after that, the dough is cut into small rounds, and then it becomes flattened, and then the chapati goes, and it falls on a frying pan. So then one side of chapati gets cooked, and chapati moves out, but chapati, instead of going out of the machine, is again picked up by a kind of a rubber belt, and pulled up and again brought to the frying pan now, but with the opposite end. And then it again gets cooked. And then the chapati is coming out, there is one person who is monitoring whether chapati is cooked or not properly. If chapati is not cooked properly, he again puts the chapati in the belt and the chapati gets cooked. And beyond that point, there is one devotee waiting to get the chapati to serve. So Kadam Kanan Maharaj was mentioning this point, that this whole chapati machine can be compared to a material world. And this chapati can be compared to all of us. And as mentioned, Krishna is at the end of the chapati machine to see whether we are cooked properly or not. And beyond that, Guru is patiently waiting till the time we are cooked to be offered to Krishna. So if we are not cooked, it is again rolled over. And finally, when both the sides are properly cooked, so Kadam Kanan Maharaj mentioned, cooked means what? One has to be completely cooked up in the material world, cooked up by the material world. So therefore, when, like for example, we are discussing nice, wonderful stories of Vrindavan, so there is attraction for Vrindavan pastimes, there is attraction for Vrindavan. But at the same time, there should also be distraction for the material world. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's lecture often speak about material energy, how it is dukhalayam ashashvatam, how we are not the body, we are soul. Because unless that distraction is there, this attraction will not have much of relevance in our life. The example is given, if someone is falling in a well, so, and a rope is thrown for him to come out. So there are two things required. One is someone should throw a rope, and second is the person should hold on to the rope. That is also important. Now, when he holds on to the rope, then the rope will be pulled. So Krishna's grace is like the rope, and our holding on to the rope is like the efforts we put. Now, we can't hold on to the rope if someone is in the well. He can't hold on to the rope if two things. One is, he doesn't want to come out, so why will he hold on to the rope? And second is, he is fed up with the well. If he likes the well, he may think that let the rope be there, I'll stay for some more time and then come out. So unless that two things are there, he will not make an endeavor to come out. Now similarly, a devotee's life, he has to make endeavor to not only get cooked, but also to be attracted to Krishna's pastime. So Kadam Kanan Maharaj calls this journey of a sadhaka from Kanishta Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari is a journey where a sadhaka gets cooked up in the material world. And finally he calls up, Krishna, I had enough. I am going to be serious now. I want to be your devotee. So when that determination comes in a devotee, then he makes a leap from Kanishta Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari level. And then Kadam Kanan Maharaj was mentioning that how then a devotee leaps from Madhyam Adhikari to Uttam Adhikari. Then he mentioned that from Madhyam to Uttam Adhikari level, a devotee has to have determination, but his determination will not work to give him Uttam Adhikari stage. It is Krishna's grace which will pull him from Madhyam to Uttama. So while he continues his effort, Kanishta and Madhyam can be in his hand, but Madhyam to Uttam is completely grace of Krishna, and while working hard in devotional service, he has to wait for that grace. He mentioned that sometimes a devotee may think, you know, I will be determined, I will try to get myself Vraj Bhav and all these things. But he will never, because it's all completely grace of Krishna. He has to wait patiently. while rendering devotional service to his guru and his Krishna. And then finally, by guru's grace and Krishna's mercy, then from Madhyam Adhikari stage, he can come to the level of Uttam Adhikari. So this is something about how these two fingers can be relevant in our personal devotional life. I'd like to end this class with a small wonderful story which Giriraj Maharaj once spoke, and which he speaks to get this thing right in context. So Giriraj Maharaj had gone to Vrindavan for the very first time in his life. And Giriraj Maharaj mentions that when he went and visited many temples in Vrindavan, he came across a wonderful photo of Raghunath Das Goswami. And then he heard about Raghunath Das Goswami's very wonderful pastimes, that how he lived in Braj, in Radhakund, and how he would always sleep under a different tree every day. So Giriraj Maharaj was very impressed by this lifestyle of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he had a desire that why don't I stay in Vrindavan like Raghunath Das Goswami, under every time a different tree. It's a good life, our acharyas are teaching us. But then he could not present it to Srila Prabhupada. But he had in his mind. So next day in the morning, he went and sat next to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was giving the early morning darshan to all devotees. Now he said, I never mentioned to Prabhupada, but I had in my mind that thought that I wanted to stay in Vrindavan. And so Prabhupada saw Giriraj Maharaj, and Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj that before Raghunath Das Goswami stayed under different trees, Raghunath Das Goswami also managed his father's property nicely. So Giriraj Maharaj was thinking father's property, and then he realized Prabhupada is talking about Jhu land, because Giriraj Maharaj's father is Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is saying you go and manage Jhu property. And then automatically one day the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami also came. So immediately it is mentioned that immediately Giriraj Maharaj did not stay much in Vrindavan. He took a train and came back to Bombay to manage his father's property. So this is about how a devotee can learn that one has to put his efforts also wait for the wonderful mercy of Lord Krishna and Guru to descend. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have 5 minutes now. If someone wants to comment, you can speak something. Or someone wants to ask a question, we can take a question. So I think there is no comment or question, so we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.